Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 690. Update on the Meltdown, Part 5, Who and What was Roland Arnall? This program is being recorded on September 20th of the year 2009. This broadcast will highlight why I'm always telling people to use the website. I've now got everything I've ever done up on the SpitfireList.com website. There's tons of supplemental information. Of paramount importance is the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. If you haven't read that book, which is available for download for free on that website, you're really not going to understand these programs past a point. This is not meant to be self-righteous or confrontatory. It's simply a matter of fact. And beyond that, you're going to have a very difficult time grasping what is happening to you. And this program, I think, will underscore in very dramatic fashion why I'm always referring people to the SpitfireList.com website, why I'm talking about the book Martin Bormann and Nazi in Exile, and why a failure to read that book, which you can do for free, people, download it for free off of the website, but if you fail to do that, you're really not going to be able to grasp this past a point. For the Record 305, the description for that has a distillate of the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, but failure to come to terms with that book will not only greatly inhibit your understanding of these programs, but even more importantly, it's going to greatly inhibit your understanding of what's going on around us. And to make a very, very long story very, very short, yours and your ice cream and America's ice cream has turned to horse manure. And we're going to be talking about why as we join the many people from President Obama on down who have taken the roughly one-year anniversary of the Wall Street and global financial meltdown to reflect on what has taken place and what can be done in the future. Now, there are a lot of contributing things to the financial meltdown, but of course, one of the main ones was the subprime crisis. A great deal of America's and global financial infrastructure had come to be dependent on the various derivative elements of the subprime lending business. And when that went south, and it sure as bloody hell went south, everything else went south along with it. And what we're going to be looking at is who was at the epicenter and what was at the epicenter of the subprime business. How many of you have heard the name Roland Arnall, A-R-N-A-L-L. They've talked about Lehman Brothers. They talked about AIG. They've talked about Bear Stearns. We've heard about Madoff, and we're going to be talking about Lee Harvey Madoff, time permitting, later in the program. But most people really haven't heard a whole lot of Roland Arnall. His organizations, AmeriQuest and Argent, were the main vehicles for launching the subprime business. And the available evidence points strongly, it's by no means overwhelming, but or no means definitive, I should say, but the overwhelming evidence, the overwhelming weight of the evidence for a knowledgeable individual points very strongly to Roland Arnall as a Bormann Jew, as one of the Jewish front people, or one of the at least nominally Jewish front people, involved with the Bormann Flight Capital Network. Now, again, for the description for the Record 305, has some of the key excerpts from the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. The book itself is available for download for free on the Spitfire website, along with an introduction. So please use that. One of the most significant elements of the Bormann Capital Network, the economic component and political component of a Third Reich gone underground and perpetuated in mafia-like style, wielding consummate influence around the world by virtue of the tremendous economic power, which in turn has yielded tremendous political power for that organization. In turn, that, like the Japanese capital networks that we've been exploring the last couple of weeks in our work with the book Gold Warriors and its authors Peggy and Sterling Seagraves, are outgrowths of the international cartel system. Go to the SpitfireList.com website. Go to the page marked Books, and there's a nice description and overview of the cartel system and how the forces that precipitated World War II grew out of that. But what we're going to be looking at in this broadcast, again, update on the Meltdown Part 5, who and what was Roland Arnall? We're going to be taking a look at what was at the epicenter of the subprime crisis. And it was the subprime business that was at the epicenter of the American and global financial collapse, which swept Wall Street before it and drove a great many individuals before it, and which has led to the tremendously dire economic conditions around the world, and maybe one of the reasons why you've lost your house, lost your job, and why, believe me, folks, it's going to get a whole lot worse. A lot of people ask me, what does the future hold? Where is it all going? I could sum it up pretty darn nicely with the vulgar popular expression, eat S blank, 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 and die. You're probably familiar with that. Well, that's basically what the future holds. That's what you're going to do. You're going to eat S blank, 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 and die in that order. And that's what's going to happen to your kids. That's what's going to happen to your spouse. It's going to happen to everything and everybody you like and love, unless the things that I'm talking about in these programs are dealt with. And if you don't deal with them, believe me, folks, they are going to deal with you. And in fact, they have been dealing with you. Are you having fun in the economic downturn? Did you like the global financial meltdown? Did you like what happened on Wall Street last year? Are you having a good time? You like the jobless recovery? It's sort of an oxymoron. It's like living death. You can't have a jobless recovery. Well, there are reasons for that. And we're going to be taking a look at one of the central elements of that in this broadcast. And again, for sort of popular exercise purposes, how many of you have ever heard the name Roland Arnall? The single most important name in the subprime business. Countrywide and Angelo Mozzillo basically got their chops from AmeriQuest and Argent and Roland Arnall. But you haven't heard much about him, have you? Well, there's a reason for that. Now, before we go into Roland Arnall, the subprime business, Argent, AmeriQuest, and the links with the Bush administration, the apparent links for a knowledgeable person with the Borman Network, we are going to take a look at Borman Jews. Now, the excerpts that I'm about to read come from the book Martin Borman, Nazi in Exile, authored by Paul Manning, one of Edward R. Murrow's boys in World War II. He broadcast the surrender of Japan and Germany on the CBS radio network, served as a gunner on board aircraft to cover the bombing raids over Europe and Japan, was credited with killing at least one kill of a German ME-109, and then at the with the encouragement of Edward R. Murrow, and for a time with the financial underwriting of CBS News, which wouldn't go with the story, Paul Manning began his lifelong quest following the Borman Capital Network. And one of the key elements of the Borman Network, or one of the things to understand, is that it stresses Manning calls the select participation of Jewish business people in its operations. This is done for several reasons. For one thing, what better way to mask a Nazi money laundering operation and to use Jews? Not only that, because as we're about to see, some of these Jewish business people and financiers also contribute their support, financial support to Israel, as does the Federal Republic of Germany, which is dependent on the Borman Capital Network, so that it buys the silence of the world's largest Jewish community and only Jewish state with regard to the post-war operations of the Underground Reich, because the Underground Reich is present in, among other places, in Israel and in the Jewish community. This should not be misunderstood as saying, oh, the Jews are fascists or Nazis. Many of the contemporary fascist elements are trying to make fascism out to be a Jewish phenomenon, which is a testimony, I think, to not only their resilience and creativity, but also to the brain-dead but F blank 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 stupidity of an awful lot of the people around who can take something like that seriously. There has always been a fascist element within the Zionist movement. This is related but distinct. These are Borman Jews, and they wield a lot of influence in Israel. And given their influence, for example, with the Muslim Brotherhood, given the Borman organization's consummate influence with the Muslim Brotherhood, it places them on both sides of the Arab-Israeli struggle, which is really a great way to wield decisive influence. But turning to Paul Manning and his book, Martin Borman, Nazi in Exile, of Borman Jews, my term, his concept, we read, Since the founding of Israel, the Federal Republic of Germany has paid out, by the way, I should stress that this book was published in 1981, so the research goes back to the 70s and before, but it's accurate up to this time. But the book was published in 1981. The full story of that in About Paul Manning. The story of the frustration of the publishing of this book is in For the Record 604, Kicking Over the Traces. And again, in Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, published in 1981, Paul Manning writes as follows about Bormann Jews. That's my term. It's his concept. Since the founding of Israel, the Federal Republic of Germany has paid out 85.3 billion marks by the end of 1977 to survivors of the Holocaust. East Germany ignores any such liability. From South America, where payment must be made with subtlety, the Bormann Organization has made a substantial contribution to Israel as well. It has drawn many of the brightest Jewish businessmen into a participatory role in the development of many of its corporations, and many of these Jews share their prosperity most generously with Israel. If their proposals are sound, they are even provided with a specially dispensed venture capital fund. I spoke with one Jewish businessman in Hartford, Connecticut. He had arrived there quite unknown several years before our conversation, but with Bormann money as his leverage. Today, he is more than a millionaire, a quiet leader in the community with a certain share of his profits earmarked, as always, for his venture capital benefactors. This has taken place in many other instances across America and demonstrates how Bormann's people operate in the contemporary commercial world in contrast to the fanciful nonsense with which Nazis are described in so much, quote, literature, unquote. So much emphasis is placed on select Jewish participation in Bormann companies that when Adolf Eichmann was seized and taken to Tel Aviv to stand trial, it produced a shockwave in the Jewish and German communities of Buenos Aires. Jewish leaders informed the Israeli authorities in no uncertain terms that this must never happen again because a repetition would permanently rupture relations with the Germans of Latin America as well as with the Bormann Organization and cut off the flow of Jewish money to Israel. It never happened again, and the pursuit of Bormann himself quieted down at the request of these Jewish leaders. He is residing in an Argentine safe haven protected by the most efficient German infrastructure in history, as well as by all those whose prosperity depends upon his well-being. Personal invitation is the only way to reach him. And then the program goes on to not only highlight the influence of the Bormann Organization in Israel, but it highlights what happened to Meyer Lansky when he tried to shake down the Bormann group, in effect, in exchange for, quote, a piece of their action, unquote. Paul Manning goes on to write, a revealing insight into this international financial and industrial network was given me by a member of the Bormann Organization residing in West Germany. Meyer Lansky, he said, the financial advisor to the Las Vegas-Miami underworld sent a message to Bormann through my West German SS contact. Lansky promised that if he received a piece of Bormann's action, he would keep the Israeli agents off Bormann's back. Quote, I have a very good relation with the Israeli secret police, was his claim, although he was to be kicked out of Israel when his presence became too noted, and also at the urging of Bormann's security chief in South America. At the time, Lansky was in the penthouse suite of Jerusalem's King David Hotel, in which he owned stock. He had fled to Israel to evade a U.S. federal warrant for his arrest. He sent his message to Bormann through his bagman in Switzerland, John Pullman, also wanted in the United States on a federal warrant. Lansky told Pullman to make this offer, quote, which he can't refuse, unquote. The offer was forwarded to Buenos Aires and the Bormann Group, where it was greeted with laughter. When the laughter died down, however, it was replaced with action. Meyer Lansky was evicted from Israel and was told by Swiss authorities to stay out of their country as well, so he flew to South America. In Latin America, he offered any president who would give him asylum a cool $1 million in cash, and he was turned down everywhere and had to continue his flight to Miami, where U.S. Marshals, alerted, were waiting to take him into custody. So again, that'll give you a brief overview of Bormann Jews, so to speak. And again, what a better cover for a Nazi money laundering operation than using Jews. It also gives them influence. Plus, when we start to see some of these institutions figuring in the meltdown, then people can point their finger and go, you see, it was the Jews. Hitler was right. You see, the Jews runs the international economies. They are responsible for the Wall Street wealth. And see, Hitler was right, you see. And there are a lot of people starting to say that kind of thing right about now. Now, one of the things to note, in addition to, obviously, Bormann Jews, my term, again, Paul Manning's concept, but note that the Bormann organization employs tremendous secrecy about its operatives. We're going to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger a little later, because Schwarzenegger, like many California politicos, was very close to the late Roland Arnall, but Arnold Schwarzenegger's sort of primary financial angel, so to speak, is a guy named William Armstead Robinson, a very secretive guy who appears to be a cat's paw for Deutsche Post and the DHS, or DHL, rather, courier service. And that basically is enabling the German post office, controlled by the German government, to move into the California, the U.S. parcel delivery business. There is some complicated maneuvering going around with that. But in one of the many programs I've done about Arnold Schwarzenegger, part of the Triumph of the Shill series, I go into William Armistead Robinson, the main financial angel behind Arnold Schwarzenegger. The available evidence points strongly to Schwarzenegger as an underground Reich operative. But one of the things that characterizes Bormann operatives is extreme secrecy. They like to stay out of the news. They don't give interviews. It's a good way to stay below the radar, which is exactly what Roland Arnall wanted to do. Now, bearing in mind the concept of Bormann Jews, which we've just explored with some excerpts from the Manning text, one thing I want to mention in this context is something that John Loftus had in an article on his website. He is developing a new website, and I did not see this on the new website. We are going to talk about this with John Loftus the next time he visits with us, but the main reason, according to John Loftus, that the German government dragged its feet so dutifully in releasing documents about the Third Reich. There was a large documentation center in Berlin controlled by the German government. It was the single largest repository of information about the Third Reich. They only released it to journalists and historians a couple of years ago, more than 60 years after the end of World War II. And the main reason for that, according to John Loftus, is that as the Third Reich operatives were preparing for their post-war underground careers, a massive forging program was underway within the concentration camps using forgers, who were basically a captive workforce, to create very elaborate paper trails documenting many of these post-war Third Reich operatives as Jews. So that in addition to Bormann Jews per se, there is also a substantive body of underground Reich slash Bormann Capital Network operatives who are basically nominally Jews, but are in fact good, loyal Nazis who have been given Jewish documentation. Again, what a perfect cover for an underground operative of any kind than to make oneself out to be the opposite of what one really is. So in addition to the concept of Bormann Jews per se, bear in mind that there was, according to John Loftus, a massive program to create a Jewish cover for post-war operatives. And then, rather like the financial crisis, it can be blamed on, you know, negative things can be blamed on, quote, the Jews, unquote. But again, bear in mind the tremendous secrecy surrounding Bormann operatives. They go out of their way to stay out of the journalistic spotlight. For much of the broadcast, we're going to be taking a look at the book Chain of Blame, co-authored by Paul Muolo and Matthew Padilla. Paul Muolo, along with Mary Fricker, and another author whose name escapes me right off the top of my head, was the author of Inside Job, about the savings and loan meltdown. And this book, Chain of Blame, was published by Wiley Books, copyrighted 2008 by Paul Muolo and Matthew Padilla. Now, of Roland Arnall and his position in the subprime crisis, the authors write as follows. Mazzillo here is Angelo Mazzillo, the top dog, so to speak, behind Countrywide, which, although it initially resisted subprime, eventually got involved with subprime. That helped to bring it down. And Countrywide was one of the funky assets picked up by Bank of America, which helped to put a lot of red ink on B of A's books. And, of course, one of the bottom lines with all of the institutions that were compromised by the subprime crisis, including many Bormann banks like UBS and the Citicorp and others, one of the things to remember is that after all of these shenanigans took place, and bearing in mind what we looked at in the book Darkness in the Vaults, or in the show Darkness in the Vaults, using the book Gold Warriors, and in our recent interview with Peggy Seagraves and Sterling Seagraves, that banks like Citicorp and UBS had billions upon billions of World War II gold, looted gold, in their vaults, and it was just moved offshore. We're bailing out these institutions, folks, that have been compromised by the subprime crisis. The financial collapse did deep damage to America's financial future. It did deep damage to the American economy. It was a tremendous blow to America. Others suffered. America suffered worst, and it was the subprime crisis that was the prime generative force. And who was at the epicenter of the subprime crisis? A name you've probably never heard, Roland Arnall, A-R-N-A-L-L. Turning now to Chain of Blame by Paul Muolo and Matthew Padilla. And speaking of Angelo Mazzillo, the other reason Mazzillo took an interest in Arnall was that Arnall's current lending venture, AmeriQuest Mortgage, a retail non-depository based in nearby Orange, was beginning to accumulate a huge market share in subprime mortgages, a product niche that Countrywide had avoided for most of its 30-plus year history, but was now slowly but surely gaining traction in. Arnall was also on the verge of launching a nationwide wholesale lender called Argent Mortgage that was gearing up to sell subprime loans through loan brokers in as many states as possible and as quickly as possible. If there was one thing that Mazzillo paid careful attention to, it was market share. It was a given that he was going to let Arnall have some of his time. It also didn't hurt that Arnall was politically well-connected, donating hundreds of thousands of dollars to federal and local politicians over the years. Former California Governor Gray Davis officiated at his wedding in 2000. As we're going to see, not only Democratic politicians, but even more importantly, Republican politicians, including Governor Schwarzenegger of California, deeply connected to Roland Arnall. And just as the subprime business was starting to turn funky, and just as the first cracks were beginning to appear in the edifice of the housing boom, the housing bubble in the middle part of this decade, and also not incidentally, just as renewed journalistic scrutiny was being turned on the Netherlands and the Dutch connection to the Bush family's links to the Third Reich financial structure and to the underground, right? Links like Bank for Handel and Scheepvaart, links like the Holland America Trading Corporation, links being explored by journalists like John Loftus and also John Buchanan. Just as that renewed scrutiny was beginning to be cast again on the Bush-Nazi links in places like the Netherlands and elsewhere, Roland Arnall was appointed by George W. Bush to be the U.S. ambassador to the Netherlands. But more about that later. Now, about Roland Arnall, and there really isn't a lot of information about Roland Arnall, but note again that not only the concept of Bormann Jews, but the secrecy of Bormann operatives, and also what John Loftus was talking about, the massive program underway near the end of World War II to create a Jewish documentation cover for post-war operatives. Of Roland Arnall, the Johnny Appleseed of subprime, as he was called later in this book, only one thing seems certain about his early years, that he was born in 1939 in Europe. His family was Jewish, which meant their lives were in danger as Hitler came to power and Nazi Germany expanded its borders by invading other nations. His official bio has him born in Paris on the eve of World War II. An unconfirmed press report says it was Poland. Arnall has never given any type of extensive interview about his past or about anything else for that matter. To avoid detection by the Nazis, the family said they were Catholic, according to one attorney who did business with Arnall. And still more. Again, that's about as much as is actually known, and that is, folks, precious bloody little. Still more about this extremely enigmatic individual. Until the early 2000s, he was for the most part invisible, keeping his picture out of the papers as best he could. On occasion, there might be a story about the Los Angeles-based Simon Wiesenthal Center, which Arnall helped found, but not much else. His avoidance of the press was intentional. Arnall, to this dispute of no one, shunned publicity with an almost religious zeal. Cole, an LBM employee for just under 2 years, remembers a conversation he had with Arnall when he said, quote, "We've got to stay under the radar," unquote. Added Cole, quote, "He was very secretive. He shunned publicity. Roland does not give press interviews," unquote. Brief note, too, about the Simon Wiesenthal Center. The Simon Wiesenthal Center has remained dutifully silent about most of the things I talk about. They don't talk about the Galen Organization. They sure as bloody hell don't talk about the Bormann Group. In the past, I've suggested that there may be operatives, maybe people associated with the Simon Wiesenthal Center who are beholden to the Bormann Group, perhaps because of some of the reasons we've already examined. But one of the things that's characteristic about a lot of the Bormann corporations is they also, in addition to contributing to the support of Israel, they will contribute to the Holocaust Museum or the Simon Wiesenthal Center. It's not to say that the Wiesenthal Center hasn't done some good work in the limited context in which it operates. It has. But again, another great cover for Bormann companies is to contribute to Holocaust remembrance or to the Wiesenthal Center or something else. Certainly, what a great cover for a spy. But again, this is Mr. Subprime. This is the guy who is behind Subprime more than anyone else. Of the role of Roland Arnall, AmeriQuest, and Argent in Subprime, we read as follows. Even though Arnall was out of the business by 2007, he, as well as the Jedinaks, had left behind a family tree of executives and loan officers who had worked at one of his companies and then decided to either start their own subprime shop or work for an existing one, taking along with them the tricks of the trade, not all of those good. In a way, Arnall had served as the Johnny Appleseed of the subprime industry. Jack Mayish, Arnall's right-hand man at Long Beach Mortgage, stayed out of the business for 3 years after the company was sold to Washington Mutual and then reemerged with a brand new lender called Residential Mortgage Assistance Enterprise, or RESME for short. Note how it sounds like Fannie Mae. It was based in Brea, nestled in the foothills of North Orange County, 20 miles from the Pacific Ocean. Its specialty, to no one's surprise, was subprime lending. Mayesh's backers on Wall Street, Lehman Brothers, and UBS's Greenwich Capital, which promised to lend him money and either buy or securitize his loans. Joining Mayesh in his new venture were two other former executives who had worked for Arnall, Edward Resendez and William Comperda, K-O-M-P-E-R-D-A. In its first year of operation, RESME funded $1 billion in loans, a phenomenal sum for a company that a year earlier didn't even exist. And we're going to pick up where we left off right here at the end of Side 1 and Side 2. We're going to take a look at the Johnny Appleseed of subprime, because it was the subprime crisis, the subprime phenomenon that brought down the global financial structure and which has done incomparable and, frankly, past a point, irreparable damage to the United States. This country is in debt up to its eyeballs and is going to stay that way for a long, long time. And by the way, folks, guess who picks up the tab for the interest we're talking about here? You, John and Jane Q. Public. So if you like it, rock and roll, folks. Enjoy. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 690. Update on the meltdown, Part 5. Who and what was Roland Arnall? This is being recorded on September 20th of the year 2009. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.